There seems to be a sort of rash of videos that have been edited to make the president appear especially frail or mentally confused. I'm wondering if the White House is especially worried about the fact that this appears to be a pattern that we're seeing more of.
Yeah, I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Are done in bad faith. And some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation,
like
disinformation.
What? Like, so give an example.
And so we see this, and this is something coming from your part of the world, calling them cheap fakes and misinformation.
Who the hell says cheap fakes?
I'll quote the Washington Post, where they wrote about.
Okay. That's Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday. That gem was dropped right after we departed and we left the microphone. Now we're back together again. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you on the Cheap Fakes edition of The Dana Show, top of the first hour. We're going to be insufferable today, just to let you know. It's good to be with you. Let's all sit together and just talk smack. You can also watch the radio show. I know, technology. You can watch it, Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also check it out on X and Rumble and all the places, the things, you guys know. And make sure you sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse, because lots of good stuff comes out of there, guys. That's the newsletter. You're going to want it because you get lots of good stuff up there. Okay, so can we for real, like, head this conversation here? First off, Not to be the language police, but the hell is a cheap fake? Is that a word Mrs. Nordstrom Pipeline just came up with? Emeritus, tyranny. Is that what she just came up with? The si se puede crowd. So cheap fakes, right? Because was that a turn of phrase that they came up with, or did she just mess it up? I genuinely want to know. This was like the first thing I was thinking of. I'm like, did they mess that up on purpose? Or is that another Nordstrom Pipeline thing from her? What do you think? Do you think that they did that because they thought it was a fun turn of phrase? Do you?
I haven't heard anyone else say cheap.
I know. That's right.
That's the only other thing. So like when you search for it on the internet, it's just KJP saying it. So
I think she messed up.
I think it is a situation where she just messed up too.
Yeah. That's so bad. It's like, no offense, I don't think she's listening. I have to look around like she's going to apparate in the studio. So like Nana, right? Constantly. If there is a name that can be gotten wrong, Nana will get it wrong. And sometimes it's like she was the original Starbucks name writer on the cup person first, right? She will purposely mess up your name. If it's Mark, you know, Mark, there was the one joke, it was Mark with a C. And it literally just said C on the cup. Like they just wrote C on the cup. Like it's just the goofiest thing I've ever seen. But if Nana could always get names wrong, always gets names wrong, not always could, like still does. And I just like, I feel like I'm talking to Nana sometimes when I hear that. I'm like, nobody says cheap fakes. Nobody says that. That's not a word anybody says. Like, where's this even coming from? But this is how freaked out they are. First off, we all know what a deep fake is, correct? Okay, we all know what a deep fake is. A deep fake is an actual, like, edited video. It's a manipulated, artificially enhanced or something, whatever video. And so we know what those are. They're fake. And sometimes it's like AI generated or whatever. It's a fake video, though. Fake video, fake concept, fake everything. And in some instances, isn't it a felony? Isn't doing deepfakes a felony?
Yeah, I'd imagine it would be.
Yeah, that's kind of the question that I have. I'm like, I feel like it's, you know, so it might be a felony here. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is because cheap fakes, I don't even know what the hell that is. But this isn't a deepfake. This is literally these are actual videos of Joe Biden being awkward. They're actual videos of him, and none of it is fake. It's all real. We can all see it. And it's not that it's been, because see, the left used to say selectively edited. That was their favorite phrase to say, selectively edited. These selectively edited videos, selectively edited. That's what they used to love to say. But now it's cheap fakes and deep fakes. So they're freaking out because the videos have looked bad, and these are actual videos. These are, you know, for real videos.
Unedited.
unedited videos. I mean, nobody, I mean, that's not how any of this works. So she's taking issue with the videos that came from the Normandy ceremony and videos from G7 in Italy. And the videos of Biden have not been, you know, altered in any way. They haven't been altered in any way. There's been none of that. And there are actual videos of him being confused and falling downstairs or struggling or something or whatever, and otherwise looking generally concerning health-wise. And this, by the way, I want to point out that this is not the first time this narrative, this new narrative, because clearly Democrats are freaking out now and they have to convince you that what you're witnessing is actually not what you're witnessing. And so this isn't the first time that we heard this. In fact, yesterday morning, Joe Scarborough was the first person to say that these are deepfakes, that these are deepfake videos. He was the first person to say that yesterday. And then Karine Jean-Pierre at the press avail yesterday afternoon, right after we finished radio, that's when she dropped that.
Well, she was prompted by a reporter whose question was like thick with butt kissing.
Oh, like, my gosh. Yeah. You know, to make him look like a parent. No, nobody's making him look anything.
So disgusting.
I want to know how are you going to digitally alter? First off, if they were deep fakes, don't you think, were you telling me he wasn't in Italy? Are you telling me he wasn't at G7? Did they just, you know, bippity boppity boo Giorgia Meloni and Fumio Kishida and Emmanuel Macron and all of these other world leaders? Did they just, you know, digitally drop them into the frame? The hell are you talking about? You telling me he wasn't in Normandy? There's nothing about it that's a deep fake. These are actual real videos, which is why no one else has stepped forward to go, these are fake videos, because they're not fake videos. Biden looks bad. The end. And Democrats, instead of actually taking accountability, which they're never going to do, it's all your fault. You're too stupid to recognize that that's a fake video. Now, they're not going to sit here and show you what's fake about it. They're not going to do that.
Well, they can.
No, audio soundbite 10. Listen to this. This is another example. This is Nicole Wallace on MSNBC.
There's a growing and insidious trend in right-wing media, broadcast, print, and social media. It is to take highly misleading and selectively edited videos of President Biden directly from Republican National Committee social media accounts and then use those videos to spread messages virally to cast doubt on President Biden's fitness for office.
What? I mean, the videos, it's Biden that's casting doubts on his fitness for office. It's not the videos, it's Biden in the videos, and that's Biden doing it.
Good Lord.
If you're going to deepfake something, I think you would go to a more extreme, I think. This is just, they're lying to you at this point. These are the people, by the way, I think it's funny. These are the people who did the Russian collusion, the laptop, and the pandemic, all that nonsense, all those narratives, all that brainwashing, all of that. Those are the same people who lied to you about actual evidence. They had 31 members of the intel community lie to your face, and they knew they were lying to your face. But they're going to get mad because you're showing actual videos of Biden falling all over the place and looking otherwise poorly. I mean, this isn't rocket science to see that he's different, that he's lost some ability, that he's lost a little, you know, motor skills, some cognitive ability. It's not rocket scientists to figure out. I mean, it makes him look like he's bad off. And now they're trying to Pravda it up and tell you that, oh, well, that's a deep fake. The same people who deep faked you about the 2016 election trying to tell you about Russian collusion. The same people who deep faked you about the lockdown and pandemic. The same people who deep faked you about the laptop and all of those intel officials signing on to it. Now they want to tell you that because you're seeing actual unedited video, that that's the deep fake. Anything that's disadvantageous to them is the deep fake. No, trust them. The thing is it looks worse that they're trying to hide it. And it looks worse that they're lying about it. I mean, when you're watching people like Giorgia Meloni have to run after him in a field, and when you're watching Fumio Kishida run towards him as he, you know, takes a trip down some steps, That's not deep fake, because then you're involving other world leaders. That never happened. But this just goes to show you how desperate they are. This looks bad. It looks bad. And it is causing people who maybe were supportive of Biden, but they weren't, you know, hardcore Biden fans, or however you want to put it. It's making those people question his ability, which then puts a seed of doubt into the mind of that voter. And Democrats are trying to avoid that because they are having to claw. And we're going to go over polling coming up. We're going to do a deep dive in some polling, and we're going to look at a very new toss-up state. It's a state that's been classified as a toss-up that I think plays into the VP stakes, and I'm going to unpack that for you. If you sign up to the newsletter, though, over at Substack, you already have it, so you're already ahead of the game. But this goes to show you how desperate Democrats are with all of this. And they're freaking out. They don't know how else to deal with it. So they're going to lie to you and say, well, it's a deep fake. But they're not deep fakes. They're absolutely not deep fakes. They're real videos. And the other thing, too, are they floating this idea that it's a deep fake so that they can, I mean, because remember, some deep fakes are felonies. In some contexts, they can be felonies. Is this going to be actionable to them? These are the same people that were trying to shut down social media if you had questions about ivermectin tray. You know, like if you said something, you know, ivermectin, are we going to get penalized on YouTube by the fascists if we say it? I mean, they were the ones who were pressuring social media to censor people who were asking questions about the lockdown and asking questions about shots and therapeutics, etc. I mean, it's bad. Everybody's in on this. NBC, the Associated Press, Colin Rugg noted that the AP issued a fact check of the video of Biden freezing up on stage and being let up by Obama. And there are so many different angles to that video, and they all show the exact same thing. Different videos from different people all showing the exact same thing. And they tried to say, the claim was, this is how the AP put it, quote, Biden froze on stage during his fundraiser in Los Angeles on Saturday night and had to be led away by Obama. The facts. Biden paused amid cheers and applause as he exited the stage with his predecessor following an interview moderated by late night host Jimmy Kimmel. And then they cited a source, quote, a source who helped organize and attended the fundraiser told the AP that there was nothing noteworthy about this moment and that Obama wanted to be chummy by walking off stage with Biden. Oh, my gosh. That's literally what the AP did. That's how the AP spun this. Mm-hmm. Now, coming up, Joe Biden's ready to reopen the U.S. oil stockpile. Should gas prices surge again? We're going to cover that. We're also going to get into his Secret Service agent. You know, when he was there in California, his Secret Service agent got robbed, got held up at gunpoint and robbed. We're going to discuss that. Our national intelligence apparatus apparently got hijacked for Pride Month. You know, just it's our national security. No big deal. We're also going to dive. We've got a whole bunch of stuff today. We're also going to dive into how now the doctor who blew the whistle on the minor sex change surgeries at Texas Children's Hospital, the Biden administration is going after him. He's facing up to 10 years in prison because he told the truth about a practice that is now illegal. And your tax dollars at work. Who got more money from the federal government? A Maui fire survivor or the Taliban? Wait until you see these assets, plus closing the asset loophole. That's what the IRS is looking to do. Jack up your taxes even more. And the VP stakes. Who Trump should pick and who he shouldn't. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
They keep saying heat wave, but I'm like, it's summer, right? It's summer, but they're saying it's a dangerous heat wave. That's all we've been hearing about. Super dangerous heat wave looming for over 135 million this week. And they said it's going to be in triple digits, and it's going to be 90 degrees in Chicago or New York City. It's going to be 90 degrees. Well, it is June, right? Is that, am I being unreasonable? Come on, people. 90 degrees. It's going to be like triple digits down here, and that's normal. But it's a dry heat. So I feel like they're really amping this up. They really are. Justin Timberlake was busted for DWI in Sag Harbor. According to the New York Post, it was in the Hamptons early in the morn. He was apparently driving drunk. He blew a stop sign, swerved out of his lane. He was pulled over in Sag Harbor just after midnight, charged with driving while intoxicated, cited for running a stop sign, failure to keep to his lane. He appeared in court looking rough, they said, in a black baseball cap. But he was partying with friends at a hotel and a two-minute walk from the local police station before he drove off. Can I just ask, and this is maybe, was his wife with him when he was partying?
I don't know.
What is a grown-ass father going out doing, partying and getting drunk at a hotel and then, like, driving off? Like, you're married and you've got kids. What is the matter with you? Be a man. Step the hell up and be a man. I'm so tired of seeing, he's like my age, and he's acting like a 21-year-old. Not even that. I know more mature 21-year-olds. Is that harsh? I, like, grow up, dude. You're midlife. Don't Hunter Biden it out, man. Good night. Let's see here. Thailand passed same-sex marriage. Apparently, they're the first Asian country to do so. Dropping bodies is bigger than dropping F-bombs. I had to laugh at this story from The Hill. The headline, Fauci says Trump dropped F-bombs during the 2020 COVID call. And it apparently was just very jarring to Hochul from Labyrinth, to Fauci. He said, you know, he goes, I have a pretty thick skin, but getting yelled at by the president, no matter how much he tells you that he loves you, is not fun. I mean, Kane, dropping bodies, dropping F-bombs. Which one's worse? Just asking for a lot of people. And Biden's Title IX rule, well, apparently there's going to, because temporarily blocked the change to that over some alphabet protections. We'll talk. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
They don't appreciate that we were dealing with a moving target. And when we were saying things in the beginning, wear a mask or not, the virus is spread. I mean, originally it was felt, understandably but incorrectly, by the CDC that it is spread by the same way that flu is spread, namely mostly by droplets, when in fact most of the transmission is not only by not droplets, it's by aerosol, but also 50-60% of the people who transmit it have no symptoms at all. We didn't know that in the beginning.
Oh, he didn't know that. You know what's amazing? How much he can recall now and how much he couldn't recall when he was in front of Congress testifying about it. And he's like, I just don't remember. I just don't know. Now he's like recalling like all kinds of things. Just fascinating that. And yes, they did tell everybody to wear masks. For crying out loud, you could get a ticket if you didn't. They were citing people in Dallas, Texas, if they didn't wear a mask. So spare me the whole, well, wear a mask or don't wear a mask. Oh, hell no. You guys don't get to retcon this. You were literally telling people that they had to wear masks under threat of getting a ticket, getting cited. Stop it. That was Fauci. He's been testifying before members of the Senate. And he was on MSNBC there your tax dollars at work. By the way, speaking of your tax dollars, let me ask you this question. Who do you think got more money from the federal government? The survivors of the fires in Maui or the Taliban?
Please make it the Maui people.
That is incorrect, Kane. In fact, it is the Taliban. In fact, apparently a huge chunk of the $2.8 billion Afghan humanitarian funding went to the Taliban. I know you guys are very shocked by this. It's not as if we told you that a huge chunk, if not all of this, was going to go to the Taliban because, you know, the Taliban runs everything. So if it's a humanitarian group, it's the Taliban's humanitarian group. Just like in Gaza, if it's the Gaza Health Ministry, that's literally Hamas, who was elected to run Gaza and created the quote unquote Gazan Health Ministry and staffs it with who? That's right, Hamas, members of the government that were elected in Gaza that created the Gaza Health. I mean, we just cyclical. We just go over and over and over with us. So apparently, House Republicans are quite upset over reports that millions upon millions upon millions of dollars went right to the Taliban. $2.8 billion in humanitarian funding that was directed to Afghanistan following Biden's disastrous withdrawal. That led to a lot of money going right to the Taliban. It is pretty amazing that this much money was sent over there, that any money was sent there, that any, we knew this was going to happen. They said that this fund said it's actually one of the, it's a huge, I mean, this is tons of taxpayer dollars that were directly, that were given to the Taliban. And this fund apparently was established in 08. They said it was $11 million paid by the State Department entities. They said it was a fraction of what the Taliban ultimately received. And I mean, this, and there's no way to get that money back. That's not a loan. That's just a free gimme. Meanwhile, the people in Maui fire still struggling. No one talks about them anymore, which then creates all kinds of conspiracy theories. But how much do you think, remember, they were really clutching the purse strings with those folks. They didn't get, anything. Like, well, they got the government coming to take some other land. We did get that. There's a lot of conspiracies and a lot of people still struggling. Just saying. But yeah, all that money went to the Taliban. Now, speaking of what other things happening with your tax dollars, the IRS wants to end, I hate the term tax loophole. They want to be able to take more of your money. The IRS wants to end another what they call tax loophole, and they want to raise more than $50 billion in revenue over the next decade. This is from the Treasury Department. The proposed rule and guidance announced Monday, you know, and by the way, you know why they need to raise this money? Because they gave so much to the Taliban. They announced it yesterday. They want to stop partnership basis shifting, where a business or somebody can move assets to series of parties to avoid tax, to avoid paying taxes on it, to avoid having the government steal your money. I don't even like to say the phrase paying taxes because it's unconstitutional and it's theft. And so the Biden administration officials, they were kind of going back and forth with each other on it, because they were saying there was no economic ground for these transactions. It's a shell game. So we're not going to let you transfer sums of money to other people. You're going to have to pay taxes on it. Is that not unbelievable? So that's what they're looking at. They said that they want to end this, what they call tax avoidance. They still pay tax on it. It's already been taxed. What are you talking about, tax avoidance? It's money that has already been taxed. They want to zero in on tax cheats, they said. The taxation is a cheat itself. So if you're bypassing a cheat, are you really cheating? And they're looking to raise audit rates on companies. They are targeting a lot of different companies at a lot of different asset rates. Anything above $250 million, they want to increase that to 23%. It's at an 8% rate now. They want to increase audit rates tenfold on partnerships with assets over $10 million. They're looking at, I mean, there's all kinds, and that's just the start of it. I mean, they're also targeting businesses with smaller amounts of assets, too. So everybody's getting hit by this. Everybody is getting hit by this. So they're looking to raise more in revenue because they won't stop spending. That's the issue. They want to close it. They said it's going to bring them in billions. They got to have money to give to the Taliban, guys. They got to have money to throw around at the border and give people luxury hotel rooms if they enter the country illegally, and cell phones and, you know, three hots and a cot, all that good stuff. You know, that's some of the stuff they need to do. Speaking of your tax dollars at work, from the Daily Wire, the Intel community is celebrating Pride Month with free trans flag manicures and Philippinex lectures. No. Yep. Yep. Taxpayer funded, by the way. They're bringing in nail techs to do trans flag manicures. I just heard half of the audience just choke and rage. Could you hear it?
I did.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You can participate in a Pride Ally Challenge. Learn from a non-binary Philippinex activist. And it's nine different Pride Month activities. It's the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Oh, look at that. How nice is that? They're just, you know, taxpayer. I mean, it's not like we have anything else that we have to worry about here in the United States. I mean, it's not like we're getting warnings about, oh my gosh, we have to worry about increased terror possibilities, etc. I mean, you've got a deluge at the border. You have Chinese nationals that were crossing in, a ton of Chinese nationals just last night and this morning on camera crossing into the United States, all young men. You have terrorists that were coming in. You have people who are raping children. There was a guy who was arrested in broad daylight because he raped a 13-year-old. There was another guy who came in illegally from El Salvador who raped and killed a mother of five. We keep going on and on and on. But hey, you know what? It's more important that they have nail techs, taxpayer funded, to make sure that they, quote, decorate you ready for Pride Month with the option of celebrating Pride or trans flag colors, end quote. Not even making it up. Wow. So that's what they're focusing on. A whole month for this. A whole month. D-Day got one day, and that was it. One and done. This, they act like these people are more heroic than the brave men who stormed the beaches at Normandy. Oh, you have sex a certain way? You want to pretend your penis is a vagina? You're more heroic than the heroes who stormed the beaches at Normandy. Instead of one day, you get an entire month. Here's a taxpayer-funded nail tech to go ahead and paint trans flag colors on the staff members at the, checks notes, Office of National Security. Wow. Yeah, it's the Nails and Crafts event. Not even making it up. That's what your tax dollars are paying for. How nice. Your tax dollars at work. But I love it. It's all Republicans are mad over. Everybody should be mad over their tax dollars being spent like this. Now, speaking of culture, I don't know if you guys saw this earlier. I tweeted about it. Because, you know, just to dovetail in with this. This insane story. I saw it from New York Mag. It was New York Magazine. They said, for our latest cover story, they said, we report on the evolution of Republican women, their wrath, sweetness, strength, and subservience to the MAGA right observed. Now, I was reading this piece. I tried to get into it. They literally, in the first sentence, admitted that they really couldn't define what a woman was. Actually, sorry, second sentence. They couldn't even define what a woman was. And then they put a few, and I think Juan has the cover. Then they threw this on the cover. The cover is, I guess, like a, I don't know, like a, an amalgam of women. And it says, are Republican women okay? I feel like we're okay because we can define women. I feel like if you can't define what a woman was, you might not be okay. That's kind of my thought on this. But they put this chick on the cover, this pieced together, I guess what they think a Republican woman is on the cover. And I'm trying to figure out, she's holding a chromed out Tommy gun and I can't make fun of it enough. I cannot, first off, we can define women. Secondly, who doesn't have a chromed out AR Tommy assault rifle with a fully auto drum clipazine, high capacity drum clipazine that holds hundreds of shells?
Yeah.
Who doesn't have that? That's so dumb. This is so dumb. I feel like if you have to ask, if you can't define what a woman is, you might not be okay. Just sane. If you're upset because there's an attractive character in a video game and she's a female, you might be the woman who's not okay. You know what I mean? Just feel like that needs to be said, because that's, jeez. But that's, are they okay? Are Republican women okay? That's, how insulting, by the way, is that? And I don't know who this chick is that wrote it. I don't even care. But that's what the leftist female position always is. If you don't agree with us, then there's something about you that's not okay. If you don't agree with us, then are you actually okay? Is everything all right with you because we're the status quo and you don't agree with us? Do you even know if you're a chick? You may not even be able to be qualified to speak on this if you don't know whether or not you're a chick or define whether or not you're a chick. Saying. That's the stupidest gun ever. And also, where can I have one? Where can I get it? We have more on the way, including coffee shop workers who voted to unionize and they promptly lost their jobs. We're going to get into that. We also have the VP stakes, who Trump should pick and who he should not pick. And we'll do a deep dive on some polling because there's a state that has now been moved to the toss-up category. And I think the VP stakes could very well factor in here. So we're gonna dive into that. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
This is an opportunity to redeem yourself. And if you could name three LGBTQ advisors for your campaign and three drag queens in San Francisco. What?
Are you serious? This guy is like...
So we're not going to revise the drag queen question from last week. But what I will say is I'm incredibly proud of the support that I have from our LGBTQ plus.
This is the most dazed of United States video that has ever dazed of United States. Oh, my gosh. So that's the San Francisco mayoral debate. And that's London Breed, who is asking Mark Farrell to name three drag queens. Because, you know, that's the ultimate measure as to whether or not you can handle the city's budget and run a city, is whether you can, if you can name three drag queens.
Gee, why is San Francisco going to hell?
Why is it covered with needles and feces? Who knows? They have a poop map. But hey, can you name drag queens?
It's a mystery.
I mean, that's the dumbest thing ever. London, like, please vote for me. Like, let me, she's everything she can to satiate the identity politics box checkers. Can you name three drag queens? Like, that's some big flex. Can you do math, B? Can you do math? That's my question to you. Can you pick up some needles and turds, London? London Breed is falling down. Can you pick up some? Like, what the hell is this naming some drag queens? Can you, what's 2 + 2? What's the budget? How much in the red are we? Those are questions that I would be asking if I was Mark Farrell. And he gets up there like, oh, I wasn't prepared for this stupid question. You got to be prepared for all kind of stupidity when you're in California. See, this is why I could not run for office. I would be a horrible no. When I first saw that, I was screaming that question mentally. Can you do math? Can you? Can you name three drag queens? What does that have to do with the job? Are you like identifying drag queens as mayor? Is that part of your job? That's the dumbest thing. I hate politics now, what it's become. Look at these stupid people in San Francisco.
I never understood what is so mysterious about the LGBTQ community that you would need advisors to handle it on a
I'm going to help you talk to these people who want to have sex a certain way.
But it's literally, how is government going to deal with this group differently than, say, other human beings?
I've never seen people who want to place themselves apart so hard while at the same time screaming at everyone for being placed apart because they do it to themselves. I've never seen anybody try so hard to hurt and rescue themselves, right? Ever.
I couldn't imagine living in San Francisco and just watching this happen.
It is like a whole other... I told you the one time that I went there, like as an adult, I've been there a couple of times, but when I went there for work. And I was on the plane. I knew I was going to San Francisco because everyone had those black tortoise, those round glasses or tortoise shell glasses, and all the dudes were in pea coats, and it was insufferable. And it was cold, despite the fact that it was May. It was freezing. It's like the coldest summer ever, I think, is what Mark Twain said, is being in San Francisco. And I don't know. It just wasn't my jam. It was cloudy. Meh. I mean, yes, I'm cloudy in my heart, but I want sun and desert. I'm just saying. So I don't know. It was just, but now, golly, it's like, so everything's shut down. The area that I was in, everything's shut down. All these stores have closed. It's just a hot mess. But hey, they don't care that stores are closing. Can you name three drag queens? That's what's going to save San Francisco, is whether or not you, as a mayoral candidate, can name three drag. I mean, those are their choices. And then the one guy kind of sort of went along with it. Like, step up, dude. Come on. Second hour on the way. We got the VP stakes. Very important. And how one state, which has just moved into the toss-up category, may factor in. Stick with us. It's our friends over at ReadyWise. They just want you to be prepared no matter what happens, because with ReadyWise, you're always ready. And this is, you don't need a disaster to prepare for any kind of major emergencies or any kind of natural disasters. You can avoid the stress of crowded stores, inflated prices, unreliable local services, and get access to top quality food whenever you need it, wherever you are, by ordering from ReadyWise.com. This is food made with high quality U.S. ingredients, packed here in the U.S., sent out from their U.S.-based plant. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. And you can use promo code DANA20 and get 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code DANA20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code DANA20.
Are you worried about the war cabinet? Are you worried about the war cabinet being disbanded?
Thank you, press.
The media is asking Biden questions. What did he yell at them?
We need to hear that again. Got to hear that again. Listen.
Are you worried about the war cabinet?
It's a cheap fake.
Wow.
I mean, really, the correct word is deep fake. But Karine Jean-Pierre also thinks that the Nord Stream pipeline. Just get all those sales right to your house, guys. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. That was the, I guess it was another cheap fake, right? Any video that they don't like is a cheap fake. I don't even know what that means, but okay. All right. It's not, though. We still don't know what he said.
He was trying to mock the yelling press, and it was just incoherent mockery. And there it is. It's our president.
But don't ask questions that are too hard to answer, because it's going to make KJP upset. Audio soundbite 2. She gets very upset when you ask her about stuff like the video that we just watched, or I don't know, like the stuff that was the Normandy ceremony or the G7 thing. Right. I mean, she gets very, they're not handling this well. Listen.
There were two instances in recent days where leaders, former President Obama and George Meloni of Italy, they physically put hands on the president to guide him and show him, give stage directions. Are they doing that on their own, or has anybody asked them to run the show like that?
First of all, let me spoke to the most recent, right? And as we saw on Saturday, President Obama's office put out a statement, so I would refer you to that statement about what was being accused in those by others. And he said this did not happen, in the sense of what people were saying they were seeing, right? Or what was being falsely reported that they were seeing. Let's not forget, President Obama, President Biden have a relationship. They are friends. They're like family to each other. And I think that's what you saw. You saw the president put his hand behind the, on the back of President Biden, and they walked off the stage after taking questions taking questions from Jimmy Kimmel.
Not taking this well. She's not taking this well at all. She seems upset. Well, you know, it's not, he's not declined. You can't explain it. It just looks bad. It looks bad. And this is one of the things we're talking about, and that Democrats are making it look worse by not addressing it. Because if you're telling us that we're the problem because of what we're seeing, then you're not helping your candidate. I got to tell you. Speaking of helping the candidate, so if you get the newsletter over at Substack, my Substack column, Chapter and Verse, I had a couple of things that went out. And one of those I want to expand on. It's the VP stakes, because, you know, there's a short list floating around of Trump's VP potentials. And I think that maybe more so now than ever, this is probably one of the most consequential VP selections of any election that I can remember. I don't think it mattered as much with McCain, and I don't honestly even think it really mattered much with Trump in 2016. I think everybody can agree with that. I don't think it really mattered all that much. I think Pence locked up the evangelical and the more traditional GOP voters. But in this, I think that Trump needs to build on what he's got and maximize gains. But at the same time, he's got some room here. He has a lot of options, actually. The Republicans have a really huge bench. Whereas Democrats have, I got to count, maybe Buttigieg, maybe Newsom. That's like it. Brig Gretsch. I mean, we talked about that yesterday. We don't really know who they have. So the short list keeps shrinking. So originally it included a lot of other people. I think right now the four names that keep getting mentioned the most are Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, Rubio out of Florida, Tim Scott, senator out of South Carolina, and J.D. Vance, senator out of Ohio. And I feel like Vance has been leading a lot of these not totally scientific grassroots voter surveys or grassroots surveys. And now keep in mind, I think I've only met Tim Scott in person. I think I've met Marco Rubio once. I've met Tim Scott, but I don't have anything personal against these guys, but I'm going to be very clinical in the way that I look at this. I don't like the idea of a J.D. Vance as VP, and here's why. As I discussed in the piece, when you look at the current Senate makeup, it's 51-49, and Republicans are, and there's four independents, but they caucus with Democrats. So even when you look at the seats in play, it is going to be a fight. A fight to even scrape up some nominal majority. And even then, it's not guaranteed. It is a fight because in some of these areas, you have to consider redistricting. Now, when Vance won against Democrat Tim Ryan, it was by just barely 7 points. Now, Trump is leading Biden in Ohio, but it's within the margin of error. I would have felt better with a Vance selection if Trump were polling double digits ahead of Biden in Ohio. Now, I know that DeWine is going to replace Vance, but there's going to be an election then not long after that. I'm trying to keep all of this in gear. And plus, I think, can I be honest? I think DeWine is a little bit of a moderate. So I tend to think that whoever he selects is would be more moderate than Vance on certain issues. So that's another reason why. It's not because I dislike Vance. I just think that he better serves the overall agenda in the Senate right now. Specifically just for the math alone is why I'm looking at it the way I'm looking at it. His area is not like Tim Scott's South Carolina district, because in 2022, Scott just absolutely destroyed his Democrat challenger by plus 25, by over 25 points. So again, I know that DeWine would pick Vance's replacement, but DeWine's a moderate. And I don't think that you're going to get somebody who is a conservative, as conservative as what you have there, picked by DeWine. Now, I don't know that even picking Vance is enough to lock in Ohio either, because he doesn't have that national name recognition. And I think that Republican voters, from looking at some of the breakdown, they're very interesting in Ohio, so I don't know if it's guaranteed. But I do think this, and because I've already seen this floating around. And I'm just telling you this because you're going to need to know it. If Vance is picked, you can count on Democrats making ad after ad of the time that Vance called Trump America's Hitler. He did. It's out there. And he wrote op-eds like Opioid of the Masses, how Trump can't fix America's social and cultural crisis. They're going to start circulating that, and they're going to put it out there, and they're going to say, oh, look, MAGA, you prioritize loyalty more than anything else. Well, here's this guy. He wasn't loyal. So, and then they're going to exploit that and try to hold it against you. I'm just saying, regardless of whether or not and why Vance changes thinking, that's going to be a tool to use. You need to be aware of this. And the left is preparing for this outcome because I've already seen it circulating. As for Marco Rubio, I could never in good conscience pick a Rubio for VP because I watched him crumble on stage in front of me at Parkland. He went up before me and I stood there and I watched him completely crumble on an assault weapons ban. I watched him completely crumble on a national registry, aka universal background checks, and I watched him completely crumble on red flag laws. He just fell apart. He went along to get along, and that is a deal breaker for me. Because of that, I could never, ever back him as a VP. And plus, he's from Florida. Now, I'm not saying because I dislike Floridians. I love Floridians. I love Florida. Florida is not going anywhere but red. And it's not illegal to have two. The Constitution, the 12th Amendment doesn't prohibit, we talked about this yesterday, two people from the same state running. There is regulations on how the electoral college votes or how those voters vote. But it doesn't leverage voters nationally well enough. And I just don't think that it's a good idea to do that. Judging also by the zealous registration of GOP voters over Democrats and the recent elections that Florida has seen, they have such a massive red wave. I mean, their state legislature has a super majority. They're red. They are red. There's nothing to be gained from running two red state dudes on the same ticket. Nothing. You have to leverage this. Doug Burgum out of South Dakota is just a moderate non-entity. He's a moderate non-entity. Tom Cotton's name has been mentioned before. He comes from a solid red state. I think him as a VP leverages absolutely nothing for the ticket. And furthermore, some of what he wants to do foreign policy wise is completely at odds with Trump's agenda. He is one of the Republicans that wants to spend on Ukraine. That's not where Trump is. I've seen Elise Stefanik mentioned before, but I think her name has kind of fallen off the subsequent list. She's a moderate Republican with a moderate record, and she was not always on board with Trump. She said one time verbatim in a radio interview that, quote, Trump was insulting to women. Now, I mentioned this last month because she was doing an interview with Shana Bream, and Shana Bream asked her about it because it was mentioned in a New York Times piece. And Stefanik got really angry with Bream and accused Bream of citing some anonymous report in the New York Times, even though it was a literal for real interview that Stefanik willingly gave to a local radio station that the New York Times merely cited. And Stefanik was employing the guilt by association tactic in order to dodge answering why she changed her thinking about that, which would have been an amazing opportunity to potentially persuade undecided voters. And I think that was the finessing of a situation that required more advanced rhetorical artistry than she possesses. And I don't think that's a good. The Republican Party, I think, also has to look to more than just November, because they have to look 8 years ahead, right? So whoever Trump picks for VP, that ticket's got to have longevity. Now, I think that the biggest gains, because my short list for VP, for his VP, is very, very short, and it only includes governors. Kemp Youngkin, I like DeSantis, but again, same argument that I made with Rubio. Two people from a red state, not going to leverage anything to win. I don't think that it works. But I think that Brian Kemp or Glenn Youngkin, would get the biggest gains, even though I know he doesn't get along with Brian Kemp. Get over it for the agenda. Because both of those states are in play. A lot of people think that Georgia is, you know, a solid red state, and it's not a solid red state necessarily. Now, here's what's interesting, and this is where I want to segue into toss-up. Virginia has been moved to a toss-up category. Glenn Youngkin, he's, you know, gets one term. He is he terms out in about a year, he's potentially a more practical choice than a Brian Kemp because Virginia is in play and it is considered a toss-up state. I also think that Youngkin would also bring in more traditionally non-Trump Republican voters, uniting the right-leaning fray, so to speak. And so I also think that Youngkin isn't super charismatic. No, I'm not saying this is to be mean to him. He's kind of nerdy. He's not super charismatic, which I think better suits Trump's style because you cannot have two super strong personalities on the same ticket. That's a disaster. You can't do that. Somebody's got to be Johnny Carson. Somebody's got to be Ed McMahon. You can't have two Johnny Carsons and you can't have two Ed McMahons. It doesn't work that way. Somebody's got to play. You got to play the right role. So the good news is that I think the Republican bench is super overcrowded. And that's good for us, right? Because you got a lot of presidential hopefuls. That means a lot of good choices for voters. And when you, especially when you compare it to what Democrats have. What are they going to do? Seriously, what do they do after 24, guys? Who do they got? Nobody. Can you imagine them in 28? Oh, my gosh. We're going to talk more about that coming up. We're also going to talk a little bit more about Virginia and what that means. And we're also going to look at maybe a potential, it's a double-edged sword that I think Trump needs to pay attention to, especially considering that previously, Democrats always banked on having more voter turnout. I think that may hurt them this year. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Gold Co., golly, the economy's trash. I mean, I could sit here and tell you every single day, same headline, economy's bad, economy's bad, economy's bad. And the borders, everything's horrible. So here, look, this is what you need to do. Go buy gold and silver. Don't be like these people who sit around and then wait till it gets too bad and then they lose everything they got because they didn't diversify their retirement savings with precious metals. And this is what you can do with Gold Co. You got a free 2024 wealth protection guide to arm you with the facts about precious metals and how it could help you in the face of inflation, exploding national debt, the whole nine yards. And you could possibly be eligible for up to 10% instant match and bonus silver while supplies last. So don't sleep on it. They've got thousands of five-star reviews and they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Education first position, and they want you to have the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. No pressure, and they're dedicated to transparency. Visit danalikesgold.com, get your free gold kit from Gold Co., and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit danalikesgold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The first alert of 2024 hurricane season. Tropical storm watch on the Texas coast. It's a system in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's soon going to become Tropical Storm Alberto. Yes, Alberto is going to be heading for the Texas coast. Don't know what he's going to be doing, but he's coming.
He's trying to come over the border.
Yeah, he's trying to come over the border. It's right, Kane. He's trying to sneak over the Rio. Put them gators in there. Just saying. So anyway, they said it's been issued for Texas coast from Port O'Connor southward to the mouth of the Rio. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a hurricane. But, you know, I'm also not a meteorologist. I just like to give opinions on the weather. I identify as a meteorologist, though. I can be whatever I want to be. This story cracks me up, and I've been laughing about it for 24 hours straight. A popular haircut has sparked outrage across Texas as one restaurant threatened to ban customers supporting the divisive style. What is it? It's the Edgar. Which would be an amazing band name, by the way. The Edgar. Some restaurants and schools are seeking to ban those who sport it. It's a bowl-shaped cut. It's the mullet of our times. And it's been compared to the modern Moe of Three Stooges and Spock of Star Trek. And they say that it's typically favored by Mexican-American young men who are known as Edgars. Why is that not a punk band name? The Edgars. And there's literally a restaurant. They put up a dude with that hair, the red circle in the line there, and it says, "No Edgars." Oh my gosh, it's so great. Oh my gosh, it's so great. No Edgars. So let's see. California's exodus could get worse. Florida, Texas, South Carolina picking up the slack. Don't move here if you're going to vote like you did in California. Don't do it. Flesh-eating bacteria that can kill in 2 days spreads in Japan. Ugh. It's a flesh-eating bacteria disease. Kill people within 48 hours. They said it's the streptococcal toxic shock syndrome, STSS. So, you know, just, I don't even know what to tell you guys. Don't freak out and also be clean, maybe? I don't know. Stick with us. We got a whole bunch of stuff. The town that sued over racism. It's the folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. Patriot Mobile, A, wants to save you money. They've got plans for everybody. Something for everybody. A plan that can be tailor-made to whatever it is that you need. Whether you're single, whether you're a dink, dual income, no kids. Whether you're a family of all size, businesses of all sizes, they got something for you. And they also have the most reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you get the same great service without funding the left. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. They'll help find you the perfect plan for your needs. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It makes switching easy. So if you're fed up of putting money in the pocket of the DEI advocacy and the gun control advocacy and all that other nonsense, switch to Patriot Mobile today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, if I was a gambler, actually, I am a gambler.
Yeah.
I'd take even money if Trump doesn't show up. Okay, I just think...
You don't think Trump's coming next week?
I mean, I don't know, but if I was, I think he's going to wake up and say and decide. He just like he said he was going to testify in his defense at his trial. He didn't put on a defense. Let him show up. I wouldn't be shocked, but I certainly would not be surprised. If you gave me even money, I'd say he's a no-show. He'll just get up.
I just like how Carville's like, you know, I'm going up in a pink shirt with LSU all over it. LSU hat, LSU, all the things. He just not even fretting. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this second hour. And why would you think that Trump wouldn't show up? The only weird thing for Trump at the debate, I think, is if they bring up the trial because he's got a gag order. He can't talk about, you know, some of the stuff that they obviously want to zero in on at the debate. Biden would be able to bring it up, but then Trump couldn't respond to it. I think it's kind of stupid. I know that there have been some lawmakers that have filed these amicus briefs and we'll see how that all pans out. This debate's next week. Dude, next week, the debate. There's no way that Trump wouldn't show up, though. There's no way he wouldn't show up. He's like a moth to a light. When there's cameras, he's there. There's no way that he's not going to show up. I think it's funny because I feel like Carville's just saying this when really I think he feels that about Biden. Carville's not a Biden guy. Don't ever forget, Carville's a Clinton person. A Bill Clinton person specifically. He's not a Hillary fan. He was a Bill Clinton guy. And this, I mean, I really feel like he thinks maybe that it's Biden that would have. There, you know that Biden left for his Delaware beach house. Let's see, it's 12:30. Well, he's leaving in an hour to go to his Delaware beach house. And then I guess he's going to be there for the rest of the week. Right? Yep. They didn't actually say when he was coming back. They just said that he's leaving today. Let me pull this up. He's leaving today at like 2:30 Eastern time, going to his beach house. And I guess he's just going to be there. I bet he's going to stay there until the debate. How much you want to bet that they're going to keep him there till the debate?
They're going to debate prep him every single day until that day. And I think that Carville was just kind of hedging his bet because he was even money on the fact that Trump wasn't going to show. So I think he believes that there is a narrative here that all of the rules that CNN put in for this debate, there's justification for Trump to be like, wait a minute, I didn't know about this one and this one and this one or whatever, and, you know, and postpone it or ask for different rules. But we haven't seen him do that. And it's been a week and a half since this has been scheduled.
Yeah.
If not longer, so.
Yeah. Well, Biden has to show up. He can't not go. Right. Because if he doesn't show up, oh my gosh.
They asked for it.
Oh my gosh, what a disaster that would be. Oh, you said, I mean, it would just compound all the stories about that's going along with the actual videos, not deep fakes or cheap fakes, you know, if you're KJP, the actual videos and the stuff that we've seen with our own eyes. But, I mean, he would have to. He would absolutely, he has to be there. So I think he's really going to be there. I think he's going to stay there until the debate.
I mean,
let me look at my calendar.
They have to zero in on a dosage that works, and they have to debate prep them. So
this, because isn't the debate Thursday?
Yeah, the 27th, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be there. I bet you he's going to be there till Thursday.
Let me pull this. Oh, I don't doubt it.
I mean, bear with me here. Beach House. Because I think, he's going, now they just said, over the weekend, he's going to his beach house over the weekend. You guys know he's going to be there. It's not over the weekend. It's Tuesday.
Today starts the weekend?
Yeah, it's Tuesday. What are you all talking about? It's Tuesday.
He's only going to be there for the weekend, Dana.
You know.
Starting now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he's, they're going to keep him there. They're going to put him on all the things to get him topped off. Yep. So, you know, when that means when he goes into the debate, you know what that's going to, he's going to be nuts when he goes into the debate.
Oh, yeah.
He's, you can always tell when he's been tweaked because he's, and he yells and he's, that's when he yells when he's trying to emphasize something, his verbal bold or underscore. He's going to be like that at the debate. And I'm interested in see how Trump plays that off. I was thinking about this too. I didn't want to deep dive into the debate. I was like going to hold off on pre-gaming it until next week. But one of the things I have been thinking about are the ways that Democrats will try to emotionally manipulate viewers to get any kind of advantage for Biden. Do you think they'll be successful in trying to portray Biden as the, because they're both the same age. So you can't say that Trump is being mean to the old guy. I mean, they're practically the same age. So do you think that they're going to somehow, the only thing that they have is getting, making Trump mad and then making it seem like Trump is being mean to Biden. That's literally all they have. Tell me I'm wrong, Kane. Tell me I'm wrong. That's all they have to do. Oh, look how Trump is so mean and unreasonable to Biden. That's how they want to make it.
And the way they'll do it is, like you said, especially if the gag order, by the way, the amicus brief is hopefully going to, you know, the judge is going to reconsider. But with a gag order in place, they're going to rib him on things he can't respond to the point where that may be the case.
And they're
going to
make him mad. And then Trump is disciplined to a point. And then he's not. And y'all know it. And then it's going to be Katie bar the door. I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
They'll mute his mic.
No, they won't. They will not mute his mic if they think it makes him look bad. They're not going to mute his mic if they think it makes him look bad.
And I have a sneaky suspicion that they're going to have a mic in there that's recording everything that's never closed. Uh-huh. But only the mic that goes to broadcast will be muted.
My other thought is this. They want to mute Biden because Biden is just going to go off into a field somewhere. But also, now this is just me. Me being me. You know, absurdity ad absurdum. But, you know, they could mute Biden and then just have someone else talk while his mouth moves and give a coherent answer.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, I'm not.
I mean, wouldn't it be
entertaining
obvious?
It seriously?
Wouldn't it be obvious though?
No, because then that's a cheap fake. If you say otherwise, wait. Now it's a cheap fake if it's not.
I love how the moderators are just like the most lifeless moderators you'd ever seen on television. Dana Bash and Jake Tapper.
I don't even think Dana Bash has the ability to recoil.
No.
And then Jake Tapper, I mean, I've been in an arena with him. He, you know.
But let's be real. These both are monotone personalities. They both are.
I just am fascinated to see how they do this. But can you imagine, like, they mute Biden and Biden's talking, but it's someone else's voice and they sound way much more articulate and they're giving out clear, concise plans. And then Trump will go, that's not even him talking. Sir, Mr. President, we're not going to engage in the deep fake. That's not even him talking right now. We're not going to engage in the deep fake stuff. The cheap fake stuff. You guys know this is how it's going to go, though. Let's be real. Let's be real about it. So this is an interesting little story that I saw. A U.S. town is being sued for racism by its white people because it's paying black residents $25,000 each for the legacy of slavery. It is an affluent suburb of Chicago, and Kane's already laughing. It's Evanston. They became the first local government to start paying reparations. And
how's it going?
Well, it's a $20 million program, and now it's getting sued because they're like, you're discriminating against non-black people, which is true.
Yeah.
if you remember how the Irish were treated.
Which is what we said in the very beginning.
Yep, it's what we said in the very beginning. Now, to pay for it, you have to be Black Americans or direct descendants of people. You have to be Black Americans and the direct descendants, apparently, of people who lived in Evanston as adults between 1919 and 1969. And that's the year when the town ended what they said was their policy of racial segregation and housing, you know, stuff that Joe Biden was for. The lawsuit also says that reparations should be limited to people who can actually prove that they suffer discrimination, because apparently you don't have to prove that at all. And they use money that they levy on pot businesses, cannabis, because it's legal in Michigan. And they have a special tax on the sale of homes worth more than like $1 million, so that you pay for that.
So everybody in this.
So if you smoke pot, you're and then you sell a house, you're paying for it.
Or even buy a house.
Yeah. Now, the initiative, which was adopted in 2019, it was a city council vote, so they didn't have a public referendum. They didn't actually mention slavery, but that's they said that most of their 12,000 Black residents are descended from slaves. They said nationally, 6 in 10 believe that their ancestors were slaves. Etc. But the program's being sued because they're saying that it's racist. And this is what happens when you get involved in this sort of income redistribution of taxpayer dollars based on skin color. I mean, it is.
It's a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah. Yeah. So there were six people who said that they lived in Evanston over the relevant period and they would have qualified for reparations, but for the fact that they're not Black. And they said that it breaches the 14th Amendment, which states Americans are given equal protection under the law. And they said that it, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of, it just the, programs like this are so dumb. We've talked about this before. Because why should other people who weren't responsible be punished for, I don't get that. Why? And also, how is it going to be divvied up? Like, what about people who are, like I, for instance, I have a friend, a conservative friend, who's completely hardcore against this stuff. And she has Black ancestry. She has Irish ancestry. She has regular old white ancestry. You know, there's like a, some, she has Hispanic ancestry. So it's like, well, what fraction of you is owed what? And that's an argument that she's made on Facebook before. Like, so what am I owed based on the breakdown of my ancestry, which I think is a fair point, because she's like, some of the people that are paying for this, their ancestors weren't even here when this stuff was happening. It's a fair point. So yeah, this isn't going well, Kane, as you can imagine. I can't imagine that it would, it's not sustainable. That's not something that's sustainable. So coming up, we got Florida man, but also Joe Biden's Secret Service agent was robbed during his California visit. We got that for you. Next hour, Jack Carr, who is New York Times bestselling author, joins us in studio as well. His new book is out today, Red Sky Morning. He also has season two of The Terminalist out on Amazon. I think it's coming out like next year.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Yeah, not out yet. It's coming out next year. So we're going to get into all of that as well. As we roll into, we're rolling towards Florida Man. The best coffee that is out there, the only coffee that I drink. I have this coffee every single day. It's veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they're mainstreaming good old American values as well. And they celebrate all of the things that make America great, right down from the roast to the Bagard. It all plays homage to American culture and military history. And they're dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes as well. But they have just the best coffee that you can drink, explosive roast profiles crafted right here in the US of A using the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms. And they got a variety of choices. You got ground, you got whole bean, you got K-cups ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and so much more. Everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And when you order from Black Rifle Coffee Company, you're supporting a veteran-owned, veteran-run company. They aid veterans, they employ veterans, active duty and retired, and they want to save you money on just some really good American coffee. That's blackriflecoffee.com, and you can save 20% with code Dana. So see it for yourself today. Sign up for that Black Rifle Coffee Club. Choose your roast frequency of shipment. It shows up on your porch for with free shipping. Order today, get 20% off with code Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com, 20% off using code Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions.
It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man's brilliant plan to hide in the ceiling was ruined by his phone ringing. It's in Polk County. Let's see. Polk County sheriffs, they were looking for this guy who broke into this building. The individual had been evading capture due to his, he had outstanding warrants, and he hid in the ceiling of his workplace. And apparently, while they were looking for him, that's when his cell phone rang. And they were able to apprehend him and take the individual into custody. This was just earlier this week. Maybe put it on mute if you're going to be doing crimes. Saying, you know, or like silent mode. Let's see. This one, a drunk dude at Disney World punches some cast members and then threatens others with a pole. I love how it's described as two shirtless men. So this was at Epcot in Orlando. Two shirtless dudes assaulted. They punched a cast member and then threatened other guests with a pole that one of them ripped out of the ground. Lord. Goodness. It's like some, what is it, drunk strength? I just feel like if you're fighting with someone and you don't have a shirt on, you're probably guilty of starting all of it.
Right?
I mean, you're just saying. Yeah. So apparently one guy punched an older lady cast member. The other ripped a pole out of the ground and started swinging it around and yelling it. And one person who was there actually told police they thought it was part of the show. So, I mean, it's just a... Orange County deputies handled it. Yeah. I'm so sad that there's no photos of this. I'd say, you know, guys, do us all a favor here. You know, everybody's got a cell phone, right? Be your own citizen journalist. Get us video. That's all I'm asking for, right? I ran out of time for this one the other day. A guy on a bike who stole a tip jar that was fundraising for a baby. It was at a diner. It was a baby fundraiser. And they literally just ran up and stole the donation jar. I mean, biked up, right? Pedaled up. Yeah. They said that deputies were asking for their help, people's help trying to find the thief, because apparently, I mean, he took $2,000. They were raising money for the kitchen manager who had her baby 2 months early. And then he rode away with it on his bike. And yeah. And they said that it was crazy because the guy was looking at the sign, reading it and seeing what it was for. And then he still took it anyway. So the diner's still collecting money, but they're putting the cash in a safe place so nobody can steal it. That's sad. That's sad. It was like for their babies in neonatal unit. That's just so sad. Let's see. This Florida street racer driving 80 miles per hour goes airborne, lands in a canal, and it's all caught on camera. Lands where the gators live. Just want to point that out. He was racing 80 miles per hour, residential neighborhood, lost control of his car, and it was a Challenger. How are you going to do your Challenger like that? So, oh my gosh. And Challenger landed. He was racing a Mercedes and they were trying to see who could be dumber faster. So it went right into the canal. There's video of it too. There was a guy like outside in his yard and then there's a car that comes flying in and the guy's running away because he sees it coming into the canal. Golly. All right. Third hour on the way and coming up later on, our friend Jack Carr's got a new book out today. Plus, it's, you know, the debates are next week. He's already leaving and going to his beach house. They're going to dope him up. Stick with us.
We know that even after these huge multinational corporations got these record tax cuts we had rarely seen in recent American history, they got these huge tax breaks. They used most of that new revenue they had to have stock buybacks, and then they jacked up their prices, the price of food, the price of household items. And people not only feel it every week, but I think they know what it is, and it's greed. It's greedflation.
He sounds like one of the dumbest people to ever speak. Listen to him. That's Senator Casey blaming corporations for high prices, even after huge tax breaks. It's because it's greedflation. It couldn't possibly be because, you know, the administration's economic policies are just heinous. It couldn't possibly be because of that.
Couldn't it's be because all the spending greedy. Bills that he signed off on.
Yeah. It's because they're... Wait. So it's greedy if the government... If it's greedy if... Well, first off, let's just assume that their argument's even remotely accurate. They're calling those businesses greedy, but it's not greedy Biden signing all of these spending bills, spending all of our taxpayer money on all this other stuff. That's not greed. I mean, I'm just saying. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this third hour. And we've got the debate that's coming up next week. How many of you are going to watch it? You know you're going to. You know you're going to see if Biden has a visiting angels moment. You know you are. I am. We're going to pregame it next week, going into next week. But I am made of thoughts. I feel like we're going to have to make a bingo card. Feel like we're going to have to. Going in. Now, it's going to be on the 27th. Biden is leaving today. He's going back to his beach house in Delaware. This was after he was in France, and he was in Apulia for G7, and he was running all over the field with the Italian leader, Giorgia Meloni, trying to run after him, and it just, the whole thing was weird. You know, the cheap fake stuff, the deep, I still cannot, can I hear that one more time? Audio soundbite one of Karine Jean-Pierre telling us what we all know isn't true. We all know these are real videos. This is silly. You don't, this just, I think there's such an air of desperation to this. It just makes it look all the worse. Listen.
There seems to be a sort of rash of videos that have been edited to make the president appear especially frail or mentally confused. I'm wondering if the White House is especially worried about the fact that this appears to be a pattern that we're seeing more of.
Yeah, and I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith, and some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation, and so we see this, and this is something coming from your part of the world, calling them cheap fakes and misinformation.
Where is that name from? That's, no one has ever called them that. That's why you know it's all bunk, because A, no one's ever called them that. B, we've seen this. I can't tell you how many different angles I saw the whole Biden being walked off the stage by Obama. There's a million different videos of this. Stop it. It looks so bad. The dude is like barely sentient. Stop. I mean, we've showed it. He's standing there. What is deepfake about it? It should be relatively easy to go through the video and then show people what is fake about what you're watching. Well, I'm showing it to you on the simulcast of the radio program, which you're watching either X or Rumble or Channel 347 DirecTV. What's deepfake about this? And it's deepfake, not cheat. This is so stupid. What is fake about it? Is the argument that neither of those men were there? Is she arguing that Obama wasn't there? Is she arguing that Biden wasn't there? Is she arguing that they weren't, in fact, on a stage? Is she arguing that Obama, in fact, did not walk off with Biden? Is she arguing that somehow Biden wasn't standing still with his arms down at his side? So what, was he moving his arms above his head like one of those inflatable people outside of an auto dealership? Like, what was he doing? And then the deepfake was to remove that? What was it? Be specific. The reporter who asked that question, you know, being made to appear weak. What in the hell are you talking about? How in the world? And that reporter set it up. That reporter was handpicked by the Democrat Party, by this administration, to set up this narrative, to help continue this narrative. Oh, well, they're deep fake videos. That's not what a deep fake is. It's not even remotely what it is. What we have is a deep fake administration. And we have a president who's not actually calling the shots. He's being used as a vessel for the people who are, because his was the only chess piece that they could get to move on the board. That was it. That was it. I mean, it's insulting, and it doesn't help their cause. It doesn't help it. And he's already, look, I'm telling you, looking at some of the polling on this, there was a New York Times Siena College poll, and this compendium of these studies, there's this, the voter dynamic. Usually the more plugged in a voter is, the more active a voter is, the more engaged a voter is, the more likely they are to vote Democrat. And that has always been true in previous elections. But now it doesn't look like it is so much. And I bring it up because a lot of these, like, for instance, there was this New York Times Siena College poll, and they were showing those who voted in 2020 and 2022. And it was, you know, Biden 49, Trump 44, voted in midterms, but no primaries, Biden 46, Trump 45. There is a gap there that is shrinking. And a lot of, now it's almost like a lot of these voters that always, you know, turned out were very, very engaged for Biden. There are a lot of Democrats that are kind of thinking that this may not be their best choice. And so now there's this theory that the greater the Democrat turnout, it might not actually be great for Biden. That's how bad it's getting. And with the voters who consider themselves kind of disengaged, Trump has sort of an edge. There's enthusiasm that's dropping in some of these surveys between Democrats and Republicans. And that's what people like Corinne Jean-Pierre and these other surrogates, that's what they're trying to battle with this narrative. Because if you're telling voters, well, don't believe the video that shows Biden, you know, falling upstairs, falling downstairs, falling on flat surfaces, tripping on stairs, running out in fields, doing all of this stuff. These are all deep fakes. No, first off, I don't think they honestly believe anybody's going to be convinced of that. But maybe they're so desperate for voters that maybe they're hoping to pick off a couple who are dumb enough to believe that. I mean, it could be that. I mean, it could be, you know. Audio soundbite 8, Harold Ford Jr., I thought, made a good point. If Biden doesn't do well in the debates, how bad would he have to do in the debates, I think, is the secondary question here. But listen to this.
It could very well be that if President Biden does not perform well on June 27th, there will be voices, louder voices in the Democratic Party saying maybe we need a different candidate. But if he performs well, the same thing could be said on the other side. Probably not likely, but at least it puts Biden in a stronger position than it does today.
You know what I'd say? And, you know, Harold Ford Jr. has also been talking about the shifting of black voters to Biden and Democrat or from Biden to Trump. And Democrats have been saying, well, it's not enough. It's not enough nationally. And they keep trying to harp on the, well, it's not enough nationally. But that's not what we're looking at nationally. Look at areas like Detroit. Look at areas like Philadelphia. Look at some of these different districts in some of these swing states like Michigan and Pennsylvania, as I just said. When you're looking at, even if it's a couple of points, and you see a shifting dynamic with a particular voting block, and it is within the margin of error in some of these surveys, that's literally enough to give Trump a win over Biden in some of these districts. And Democrats are hemorrhaging black voters. And it's not just black voters, they're hemorrhaging Hispanic voters as well, but particularly black voters. And this is something that they have struggled with for years, since 2016, going into 2016. Biden really suffered a lot, some serious losses amongst black voters in 2020, and it was sending off alarm bells in the Democrat Party. But they haven't done anything in the 4 years since then, aside from trying to fearmonger about imaginary racism and equity. And that's why they've been pushing DEI and trying to create something that if you stand against it, this is the new measure of whether or not you're a racist. They've been trying to do something to leverage to try to get people back to voting Democrat. But it's not working because those tactics are not overshadowing the financial pain that people are feeling in their lives. They're not greater than their inability to find, you know, really good steady work. They're not greater than their inability to get a raise. They're not greater than their inability to get greater benefits. They're not greater than their inability to take a family vacation because they can't afford it due to inflation. They're not greater than their inability to afford more at the grocery store because their dollar doesn't stretch that far. That is what is being felt. And so even if it's only a couple points here, a couple points there, like, for instance, for Biden, he's fallen 20 points in Pennsylvania with black voters. Black voter support has fallen 20 points for Biden in Pennsylvania, 22 in Michigan. Exit polls in 2020, looking at RCP, Biden got 92% of the black vote in each state. So this is now it's even more dramatic. And again, I tell you, a lot of these surveys, when it's within the margin of error like this, couple points is enough. It is enough. And in Pennsylvania, and this is, didn't they enact, don't they have automatic voter registration now in Pennsylvania? So you have to actually change your affiliation. It's just like, I think that they all, it's just something that's auto. Democrats want to make sure that they're keeping their voters, but it's not happening. And they're not doing anything. They're not doing any messaging. They're not doing anything policy-wise to make them feel better. For instance, look at the border. people are still seeing massive, you know, groups of people come across the border. Biden's out there trying to message on it, sort of. It's like, you know, it's half-assed. He's like going out there and he's not really trying. He's like, oh, I'm undoing some of these executive orders that I did my first, you know, 90 days in office, where, or first, sorry, week in office, where I undid like 90 some odd orders that Trump had given as it pertained to the border. Now he's having to go back when he's not getting dinged by Democrats who are mad at him for not keeping open borders. He's getting dinged by Democrats who are living the open border, and they're saying, look, this is not working. There's still tons of people coming across. All you're doing is giving people a date with an for an immigration hearing, and then that's it. And then they don't. That's it. It's not doing anything. People are seeing it. They're not actually doing anything policy wise to make any of this better. And with the economy, you're talking about raising taxes further. And now you've got this new stuff coming out from the IRS about further eliminating any kind of tax relief. You're going to watch this shift even more. Even more. So this debate is crucial. This first debate. Biden has to win it. And he can't.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I had a laugh when I saw this headline because Russia's Putin has arrived in North Korea for what they're saying is a rare trip as anti-West alignment deepens. So one vassal state is going to the other vassal state, and they're going to high five and figure out how to be poor vassals together. Nostrovia. So that was an interesting headline. All right. Also, this from the BBC. More people are turning away from news. Yeah, I think most people are getting their news from social media anymore anyway. But the BBC says that most people, though, it's for a reason that you might not immediately consider. Not just because they get it first from social media. They think that news is depressing, relentless, and boring. According to a global study where 39% of people said worldwide, they sometimes or often actively avoid the news. It's up by 10%. That's what the measure was in 2017. That's according to Oxford University that carried out the study. So it's very interesting. Precrastination is the opposite of procrastination, and it has its downsides. And boy, oh boy, do I have some precrastination issues. That's a real thing. So instead of putting things off to the last minute, precrastination is considered the opposite. It's when you complete it often before it needs to be done without the intention of not, so you don't have to think about it anymore. But I get it done, so I have more time to think about it. I'm not kidding you. So it's not really precrastination, is it? Because I'm still obsessing over it. I want to get it done fast and immediately so I can obsess over it longer. Does that make sense?
One's procrastination. The other one's like OCD.
No, it's ADHD. Not OCD.
It's OCD.
It's just I want to obsess over it for a longer period of time.
That's the O part of OCD.
I also don't like procrastination. Can't you just be crastination? Just, is it possible? All right, so a customer was fined $436 before he even rented his car. This was a Hertz thing. I hate renting cars, by the way. I hate it. I always hate it. Because it's always like, can I have a non-smoking car? And then it's like, do you want this car that smells like a double snakes in an ashtray? Or what about this car that smells like butt in an ashtray? Or what about this one that has an eau de foot? Would you like that with it also? A Hertz customer apparently was charged for a red light ticket before they even rented the vehicle. And it was in Calgary. They had a fight with the company. It was $436 and the company was like, nope, this is you. And he's like, I literally just landed. I didn't even drive the car. I haven't even gotten the keys yet. What is your damage? So, apparently it's, they had to, and Hertz, did you know that Hertz has a do not rent list and they will ban your descendants too?
Oh, dang.
Did you know that?
I didn't know about the descendants.
Hertz is evil. Look at them. They're going to impose a ban on you. Yeah, they apparently, I think it's funny. Anyway, they're not evil. I just think the pettiness is admirable. Vintage doesn't mean this. A vintage plane crashed after a takeoff from a Chino airport, killing two. I don't really think that's what vintage means, because vintage apparently in this instance means it can't do what it used to do. I mean, I'm sad that two people lost their lives, but would you fly in a vintage plane? Because nope. And in San Francisco, the van lords are a thing. $2,500 in rent for a rusty RV. because housing is so insane there. Now everybody's, now it's the San Francisco Van Lords, also a great punk band name. Coming up, my friend Jack Carr, his new book drops today, Red Sky Morning, the latest in his series. We'll talk about his Amazon series too. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour, and my friend is in America. He's in Texas, although he comes from a really nice state. You're in Utah, so it's pretty free there.
Our it's no
very
Texas, good. But.
Yeah, it's not Texas. I mean, it's a dry heat. It's what we like to say. Means nothing. My very good friend Jack Carr, whose new book Red Sky Morning has dropped. I have it, and you send out, which we're going to talk about, the bougiest kits I've ever seen in my life. But you guys know Jack because he is the author of the Terminal List series. And everybody watched that on Amazon, and Chris Pratt was in it, and a whole host of really awesome actors and actresses. I know the new one of that comes out next year.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about some other stuff as well. But first off, this is your first. Congrats.
Thank
and then
you, thank
this
you.
Sweet picture.
The new one, huh? Look at that.
Yeah,
it's kind of like I was going for more of an espionage type of a thing. So you got the.
This is nice.
There. Thank you.
So before we get going, for everybody who's watching, if you're listening, you know, around the country, terrestrially, if you're streaming or if you're watching the simulcast of the radio program, Channel 347 DirecTV as well, also on X and Rumble and YouTube. I got to tell you guys, I don't know anyone who does this. You are the only author I know who sends out, my challenge coin fell out. You send out the bougiest kits of any author I have literally ever met in my life.
Thank you.
So the book, guys, I'm going to show it. I'm just like breaking all the rules right now. It comes in this like fabulous kit. You got to be super special to get this.
That's right.
And you get the book and then you get all this stuff. I'm always super excited as to how you're going to have it set up every time
Thank
a book
you.
Comes out.
Thank
but congrats
you.
On this.
Appreciate it.
You were in
Appreciate
Austin
it.
Earlier. Tell me
yes,
about it.
Yes, the little first event kicked it off in Austin and had a great event out there and now Dallas tonight. But the case is, I thought, you know, looking at this, I looked at the space, publishing in general, the same way we looked at the battlefield in Iraq and Afghanistan, meaning you're looking at how the enemy's adapting, you're trying to adapt to the enemy, looking for gaps in their defenses, figuring out how to capitalize on momentum. So I never didn't come from a profession or a job where I had any baggage as far as marketing or anything like that. I couldn't say, you know what, in my last job, we did this, because that didn't exist. I didn't have any background like that. So I just looked at the space like I looked at the battlefield, and I looked at, why does my iPhone come, doesn't come in a manila envelope?
Right. Right.
And as much thought goes into the packaging as goes into the actual device itself. So I thought, why don't I do the same thing with publishing, with these books? Why don't I do something that's me, so it's a gun case, and then do something that speaks to the fact that a lot of thought went into that. Mm-hmm. So I try to put as much thought into blog posts, social media, questions on my podcast, the scripts, the book, because people are trusting me with this time that they're never going to get back.
Yeah.
And so I want to honor and respect that audience. So the casing is a reflection of that.
Super. It's awesome. And I love the book, Mark, as well. We're going to talk about your book coming up, Red Sky Morning. I noticed also, too, you always, a lot of your, I mean, everybody knows your background, veteran, and we thank you for your service. But that really informs also, I mean, clearly, your story involving your protagonist, James Reese, in this series. But when I read, like, the stuff that you get inspired by, it kind of creeps me out because you know a lot, and I think you know a lot that you'll never tell anybody. And I'm like, is this happen? I'm like, I read this, I'm like, did this actually happen? Like, I just, you know, I just wonder with
well,
some of
well
your
is
plots.
Deep. Yeah, the well is deep, but also politicians, military officers, the world in general gives me a lot to work with.
And do you
now.
Work out like a lot of the problems that you're seeing right now in these stories, like especially with what we're seeing with DOD and mm-hmm. Pentagon and and CENTCOM and all these headlines that we've just had in the past week? And the flags are all up on the social media accounts,
are
but you know,
still?
Yeah, the flags are all up. So we just found out we gave like, I don't know, Kane, how much was it? $11 billion, maybe something like that to the Taliban. A lot more money.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's just to put that out there on the table for you.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about night vision and IR lasers and that stuff that we want to get here and put on our AR platforms and that sort of a thing, and the things you have to sign to say you're never going to sell it to a foreign entity or whatever you're going to do. And then you look at, wait a sec, how many of these things did we leave behind in Afghanistan in August of 2021? Mm-hmm. And the government, obviously, there's no accountability there. But if you're going to do it as a citizen, you know.
You bring up a good point. You actually do have to sign these contracts. That say you're not gonna, you're these are
for
yours. You're not
things.
Gonna do anything with them except keep them for your own self. You can't sell it. Nothing can happen. But then you know, if
yeah, we can leave it all behind in Afghanistan.
Exactly. It's just context.
After 20 years to plan for a way to get these things back, to withdraw from this place, because we knew eventually we would someday leave that place. So 20 years, and the best and the brightest in our military come up with what we saw in August of 2021.
Wow.
So things like that do make it into the pages of the novel. There's a couple of zingers in there. Sorry, anybody in the FBI had to bring that up about
you're so polite about it when you do. You know, I can tell when you're getting at somebody.
I kind of weave these things in, like them, they're being a little preoccupied by surveilling soccer moms at school board meetings and things like that. So I just kind of weave that into some conversations in the book. Very therapeutic for me.
Yeah. We're here with our good friend Jack Carr, whose new book, Red Sky Morning, is out today. And if you don't have the full series, you need to go out and get it. But the latest is out today. You were in France. You were at the observance of the anniversary of D-Day.
Yep.
And they always have... it's a bucket list thing to go there and to go to these ceremonies because there's not a lot of these, you know, greatest generation World War II veterans left. Yeah. And from the way that it was being written about is like, this might be the last big one where, you know, you have more than a handful that are there. Cause these are the youngest guys that served that are there now. Like these were the guys who were like 17 and 18 during D-Day that are there now. Tell me what your experience was like, because you know it's amazing watching these guys, and they're in their uniforms and they have their medals, and I felt like in some instances it was a little undercut by the messages from the politicians.
Yeah, I was really hoping that the politicians would be able to, for a moment, just remove politics from any speeches and just honor these guys who came over the beaches or jumped out of planes or landed in gliders on June 6, 1944, but they could not help themselves. And this is the 80th anniversary commemoration events. We're there at the American Cemetery that overlooks Omaha Beach, and we were there with 48 World War II veterans with the Best Defense Foundation. That's who I went with, and there were some other groups over there that had veterans as well, so they're up there on stage waiting for these politicians to show up so they can kick this event off. And even when they started it with the chaplain, I thought, oh, this is pretty good. Okay, this is a very nice way to start this. And then they have to say something about the storm clouds are once again forming. I'm like, oh, here we go. And then Austin got up. He said the same thing. Biden, similar thing. Of course, President of France, similar thing. And he names Ukraine in his, I believe. So I was just hoping for a moment they could just honor these guys and talk about what they did to liberate France and go all the way to Berlin. But instead, they have to bring up current events and bring in politics. So that part was pretty disgusting, actually. And then a few years ago, my daughter and I went back to, and she was here too for the 80th anniversary of D-Day, helping these World War II veterans in and out of their wheelchairs, getting them to the events, doing all that sort of thing. But we also went back for the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And our president didn't even show up for that one. He did a videotaped little message.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, this is the greatest attack on American soil. You know, you'd think that the president would show up, but maybe he didn't want to be a part of a deep fake.
Oh yeah, I heard there's something like that going on.
Cheap fakes. Yeah, that's going the around. Phrase. Yeah, apparently you were a part of that in France. Did you know that?
I can't talk about it though.
Yeah, I can't.
It's all classified.
I mean, I bring this up not, you know, I'm not making fun of the president of the United States, because no matter. You know, obviously, I wish it was a different political affiliation, but, you know, by and large, it's the leader of the free world, the leader of the United States. I am very selfish and proud about my country, and I do not want my country to look weak because my leader has trouble walking on a flat surface. Yeah. What was your takeaway when you were just there observing and you saw the commander in chief? What was your thought?
Yeah. Well, the thoughts are that he couldn't keep those politics out of the speech, but more so holistically, when you're in northern France during June, there are more American flags there than I've ever seen on the 4th of July in the United States.
Wow.
And there are 82nd Airborne flags everywhere, 101st Airborne flags everywhere. And it's not just the older people who are maybe past this from their grandparents. It is the youngest kids. And you see it in their eyes. You can see it in their faces. They don't talk about this just one day a year or maybe a week during a school, maybe the 6th grade, 7th grade time frame. No, I think they talk about this every single day because you can feel this raw emotion. They are so thankful, and that's because they were occupied and they were liberated, and they were liberated by these people who you talked about, who some of them lied, and they were 15 years old and they lied to come in so they could be a part of this. And so they're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. And I think a lot of times we think of like Saving Private Ryan, and you see Tom Hanks and you see maybe he's like 45-ish or so when he does that, or you see John Wayne in The Longest Day, who's older, but they weren't that age. Mm-hmm. These were young kids. They were those 18, 19, 20 year olds, and they were the ones who ran across these beaches, who jumped out of these planes, who landed in gliders, and who liberated France. So they have not forgotten that overseas. And we went to a school visit, and all these kids come out, American flags everywhere, gigantic American flag on the side of the building, and they are waving those flags, and they just want to talk to these guys. I'm going to get their autographs.
Oh, wow.
We make baseball cards that have their photos and their stats on the back, what they did in World War II, and the kids are collecting them from all these guys, and it is powerful. I wish every American could see that.
I wish that they could experience that here and not have to go to France to experience
yep.
it. That's one thing I've always wanted to go there, because everything that I've heard, everyone says that it's just the appreciation for what was done there.
Yeah.
Talking with our friend Jack Carr, whose new book, Red Sky Morning, is out. And you also have your own podcast, which I failed to mention as we got started. So
Yeah. Congrats
on that,
because
now
so
you're going into 2 years of that, right?
Yeah, I think it's the third one. So, yeah.
Wow. So this book. This is thicker than your others.
This one, that's why it's a month late, because it was supposed to come out in May, but for me, the story always dictates. It's not a deadline. It's not that I hit 100,000 right. words and I think, oh, it's time to wrap this up. No, the story has to be the best that it can possibly be, because people are trusting me with that time. So I shouldn't say this, Simon & Schuster, put your earmuffs on. I'm going to blow right past those deadlines in order to make this the best that it can possibly be. So that's what it's all about for me.
Just be like, you're the new Ian Fleming. You can do what you want.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm going to try to get it within the year, within the year. But
you went to his pad and you were writing. Did you write some of this there?
I did.
You did.
It's the 007th book. So I wanted to make sure for the 007th book that I was going to weave in some Ian Fleming and some James Bond references.
Nice.
And more so not just like dropping an Aston Martin or something like that in, but things that would honor Fleming and honor his creation, because he had such an impact on me. And obviously the movies have had an impact on popular culture now. All these years. So I want to put things in there for the most ardent Bond fan, and then also for people who have maybe just seen one movie.
Yeah.
So there's something in here for everybody. And also it's the 40th anniversary of The Hunt for Red October by Tom Clancy. So this starts off with a prologue that is very submarine centric. And I knew nothing about submarines really, which is why also this is a month late, because it took a lot of research.
And you also, correct me if I'm wrong on this, and I have not read it yet because I just got it. But you hit on a little bit of the AI stuff in here as well.
A lot of AI.
That's real quick before, because I wanted to talk about the series too on Amazon. That, out of everything, terrifies me. A militarized AI.
Yeah.
What impact of war, what percentage of, what is that going to do to warfare in the future? And I mean, we could already be there and not even know, honestly.
I think everything that I write about in here, we've actually already surpassed it. So the people that I talked to and interviewed about AI, about quantum computing, about these next generation platforms that are being built right now, they all told me that if they talked any more about what's going on, that it would put my book in the science fiction category. So I think we've already pushed past where we think we are, but all these new platforms that are being built, these next generation systems are being built with at least the capability to be autonomously controlled. So that's in the future. And if your enemy's doing it, if China's doing it, which means that their decision-making process and cycle is very rapid and ours is slow, mm-hmm. well, then missiles will be hitting the continental United States before our generals are getting out of bed.
So oh, boy.
That means that ours then has to be more rapid. And with technology and the pace of technological innovation over the last 20 years, imagine the next 5 years, the next 10 years when it comes to quantum computing and AI. So we're a breath away from having autonomously controlled military platforms out there. And this book is it's really a book about loyalty and questions of loyalty, but also it's a bit of a warning.
It's an ongoing theme in your series.
It is.
Loyalty, which I love. Real quick about the series, because the first Terminalist, which is on Amazon Prime, starring Chris Pratt. Fantastic. It was so well done. Riley Keough's in it as well. You have a great cast. Yeah. The second is coming out next year.
Well, we think.
Can you give
I don't
us
think
like
that's
a,
been announced yet, but it might be breaking news.
Year.
Might be a good guess.
I may be lying. I don't want to take any thunder away from anybody.
I would guess also that it would come out next year, because we're about to finish it up here in the next couple months over in Budapest, and then we move into post-production. And so I would guess that it would come out in 2025, but we don't have a date yet. And then we roll right into filming True Believer. But what's interesting about filming in Budapest is that it is a very clean, safe city. Ferraris everywhere, Bentleys everywhere, Porsches all over the place, G-Wagons all over the place. It is absolutely astounding. It's like a Beverly Hills, but clean. without the crime. And I walked across the whole city one night after watching the director's cut of the first episode, felt completely safe.
Wow.
I was in New York about 2 months before that for the 100th anniversary of Simon & Schuster, and I was speaking there and went to dinner at Times Square Cafe, which is nowhere near Times Square, because I thought it was. So I had to walk across the whole city to get back to my hotel, and I was like on E&E back in the military. I was like, I was definitely on edge, didn't feel that at all in Budapest, which is interesting.
Well, the book, Red Sky Morning, by Jack Carr, I got to point it this way, who's in studio with us, and we're so glad to have you in studio. Thank you for what you do. Appreciate your service, and appreciate now your stories, too, and would love to have you back. Congrats on the podcast as well. And people, go out and get his book. It's out today. All right, we got to get rolling. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. More of The Dana Show after this.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Well, we just kidnapped Jack Carr, and he's just going to stay in studio with us.
He's going to hang out for a bit.
Yeah, he's going to hang out with a bit. And then he's going to tell me how he's going to get murked in the new series that may or may not come out, Terminalist, next year. Maybe. We don't know.
Not saying anything definitively.
What's a conspiracy theory that you indulge yourself in believing?
Ooh, well, a lot of them are just keep coming true. So it's like very hard to even it's hard to even like pick one as that it's a conspiracy theory. You'd have to like, we have to come up with one that I can say yes or no, or like that one was actually proven, or one they're clinging to as a conspiracy.
Does Biden
still
have a body double? But Kane believes he does.
Yeah. Oh, you think so?
I don't. You think it's like a Dave thing, the movie?
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah? Only from a distance? Or do you think like
I can tell already Jack's not into it.
I think both.
You think both?
I think there's a good mask.
You think so?
I think there's a mask he's wearing.
I see the ones on like the videos that people put out there, but it also looks like that it could be lighting, makeup, bad lighting, angle of the lights, angle of the camera.
Could be.
A lot of angles of lights and cameras and all that. I mean, that's a lot of things all coming together at once to make it look really sus.
Oh, I don't know.
Just saying. I mean, sometimes it's an Occam's razor. Sometimes it's not. I don't know.
It could be one of those things that we find out definitively is true in like 2 days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know. Because you never know what's also been manipulated out there.
I know.
So you can't really, what can you trust? It's so weird.
I know. Well, I think Sasquatch is real. That's my conspiracy theory. And he may or may not be involved in the administration. I don't know.
I think it's probable.
It could totally be true. I mean, that one, I hope so. I hope there's aliens. I hope there's a Sasquatch. I mean, I don't know if aliens ever comes into, you know, your James Reese stories. That would be so exciting because all the other drama is just, like with the everyday DC, I want some aliens to come in.
Well, remember,
didn't they, the other,
like a year ago or so, maybe it was a year and a half now, didn't they say that something about, hey, UFOs are real? And everyone's like, oh, great. You know, Kanye or whatever. You know, like something else, distraction.
Oh, my gosh. Did you guys talk before you came here today?
Did not.
Oh, my word. All right. So the book, Red Sky Morning, congrats. I hope you have safe books because you're hitting a lot of cities.
A lot of cities. It's always a blast.
This is the tough week.
And I love it because then you get to shake someone's hand, look them in the eye, and say thank you.
And you had your nice moment coming down the escalator there in Austin.
I did. I started at the top.
Presidential, one might say.
And I started walking because I didn't want to go all the way down. And
you had like a Ricky Bobby moment. Like, what am I doing with my hands?
Yeah, I better walk. So at least I started walking. And people still said it was a Trump entrance. So I was like, dang it.
If you're going to have an entrance, at least make it a Trump entrance.
Yeah, I think I'm missing somebody. I think if somebody needed to be in my arm and I needed to actually take it all the way down to commit to it. You know, I didn't. I got nervous and I walked, you know.
Well, it's been so great having you in studio. Jack Carr, everybody. Red Sky Morning. Go out and get the book. It's at bookstores today. He's going to be in and around the DFW area. And then, of course, don't forget the Amazon Prime series. If you haven't watched it, sign up for Substack. Like us on YouTube, Facebook. Back with you tomorrow.
Woo!